was that at chapter 25 of the Book of Ephesians, keep your finger there because it was sometimes a little flop back and forth. In the business world, there are two important areas in each company. The first one is account payable, and the other, account receivable. At the end of fiscal year, they have to make sure they are balanced. If they don't, they'll get in trouble. IRS will have a field day with them. Like that, Christian and every human being, not just Christian, every human being needs to settle individual accounts with God Almighty when the time comes. And you make up, when is the time coming? When you leave the earth? If you are born again Christian, if the rapture happens, we will see him. And if you are not born again Christian, you are an unbeliever, when you die, you will see him. At the white throne judgment, that's when you give an account, and he will settle that account with you. There won't be a slave attorney, defense attorney, because they will be busy not even defending, but admitting their own guilt. As we finish the older course, this course of Jesus in this chapter, we find the three important things. Non-transferable of the personal salvation in verse 1 through 13 in chapter 25, and faithful and unfaithful servant in verse 14 through 30, and practical servant in 31 through 46. We have a lot to cover, so let's start. And we start with a prayer. Father, indeed, bless you, our Lord, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing and heavenly blessing in Christ. Just as you chose us in him before the foundation of the world, we should be holy without blame before him, having predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the pleasure of your will, to the praise of the glory of your not cheap grace like some people declare, by which he made us accepted in the blood, that we may stand in your presence boldly without shame, not by our own righteousness, which is nothing more than filthy rag, but with the righteousness of God. Father, we are asking you to speak to us this morning because we are needy people. We need your wisdom. Let our heart be open to receive your anointing. And your anointing, double anointing upon the one who speaks. He has nothing for him to speak but your word. Let your word come forth from him, that he may honor you with word. And Father, we pray for President Trump and all their leaders in this. Father, we ask him, your will be done. When they are wrong, chastise them. When they do well, Father, we pray for the uniform, the personnel, our troops, and law enforcement, wherever they are, you pray. Verse 1 of chapter 25 in Matthew, please. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to the 10 virgins who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise, and five were foolish. Note that word of foolish. And those who are foolish took their lamp and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamp. But while bridegrooms was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, bridegroom is coming, and go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourself. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were already, went into him with, went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, other virgins came and sang, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I do not know you. On the line, highlight, circle all that. Watch therefore, for you know neither day nor the hour in which the Son of Man can stop there. Keep your finger there and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3, right before Titus 3:16. You there yet?
Yeah.
All, not almost. All, verse 16, 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. All scripture. That means the word of God, the one you have on your left, it's a God-given word. It's not man's word. And all of them, without error. Understand? Without an error. However, chapter division is not necessarily given by the divine wisdom. It was man's way. Majority of time, chapter divisions are right on the dot. But in few cases, chapter division was not properly done. Case in point is what we just read from verse 1 through 13. This should be the end of chapter 24 because it still speaks of the what? Rapture. So because chapter 24 is talking about rapture, it should be included there. But since it's in chapter 25, we're going to use the how God's going to expound to us. In Jesus' day, though the day of the wedding was known in the community, but the exact hour of the bridegroom coming is not known. Let me give you the background. First, they usually match made by the parents. This is the bridegroom, this is the bride. You don't know each other, but you are going to marry. How about that idea, right? And can you imagine, he's a pretty bride, and then the husband's bride, husband too, is showing up with all this face. He's like, ooh, I have to marry that thing. Yes. And the other way, the bride show up and like, oh, I need eye patches. It can be quite bad situation. But it was meant. Most of the time, matchmaking was done previously. And once they engage, they drop. From that moment, they are practically treated as husband and wife. Only way they can break the betrothal situation is going through divorce, actual divorce. From then on, the bride remains at home, at the father's home, and prepare herself, listen carefully, prepare herself for the bridegroom to come. Bridegroom goes back to his father's home, preparing the room for him and his wife to be. Are you with me so far? And he will come when the father of the groom says, now you can go get the bride. When the thing is done and he's father look at it, okay, now you go get your bride, and he will come, even though there is a particular date, bride does not know the hour. It can be any hour of that day. It can be early in the morning, or it can be 1 minute before midnight. Oh no, they're actually 6 o'clock. So, before the 6 o'clock evening, she has to wait. Be ready. Ready to go. Then, when there's a shout, forerunner of the bridegroom, best man, will come ahead of the bridegroom and shout, "Bridegroom is coming, be ready." Then bride will stand up and the all 10 virgins will stand up and they will all go to the bridegroom's home and they will have a wedding ceremony. They will have a wedding supper. Everybody understand that? Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Do you want me to repeat it?
No.
Okay. Let me put that thing in the spiritual terms. Jesus came to earth, to the church, and declared that the betrothal state. And then he leaves the earth, go back to heaven, prepare the place for the church. You with me so far?
Yeah.
Are you thinking the parallel?
Yeah.
Okay, go back to the place. He doesn't, even the Son of God does not know the time of the day or the hour. Until Father, not even the angel, Father tells him, now go get your bride. He will come down. But before that, before he came down, before Jesus, I'm going back, before Jesus came to the earth, there were a forerunner of the bridegroom. Who would that be? John the Baptist. Now, groom is coming back to get the bride. There will be a shout. There will be a trumpet noise. And get the bride, and they will leave the father's house, bride's house, and go to the groom's house, and they will have a wedding ceremony that is bride, Church of Jesus Christ, and groom, Jesus Christ. And we will have that infamous supper of the Lamb. You following on that?
Yep.
Very important. You need to put that in the back of your mind. The five foolish virgins appeared to be prepared for the bridegroom because they had a lamp. However, without oil, they were not ready for the bridegroom. In this case, Jesus is the bridegroom and he's coming back to take his church with, which is bride to heaven. Throughout the scripture, oil it's always been the symbol of what? Symbol of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Yes, anointing too. Unless a person has the Holy Spirit in his heart, he cannot claim that he is a born-again Christian. So how does a person get to have the Holy Spirit? When you receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, Holy Spirit come into your heart. And you may say, well, what does it mean? I'm glad you asked me. So go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, right before Galatians. Chapter 1, verse 21. Now, he who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a what?
Guarantee.
It's like a down payment. When you give out, when you buy a home or car, you give out a chunk of down payment. That means, oh, I'm going to buy it, really. That's a guarantee. I asked you on the notes of verse 8 and 9. Go back to verse 8 and 9. The foolish said to wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, lest there should not be enough for us and you. but go rather to the Lord's food cell and buy for yourself. Salvation, listen carefully, please. Salvation cannot be transferred from one person to another. As I said many times, no one can ride someone's spiritual coattail to heaven. I don't care if you are the son of the famous pastor. You don't go to heaven because of that person. No, no one, it must be done. No one can go to heaven by somebody else's connection. It must be done by individual choice only. You with me? I hope you don't think that you're born again Christian because you know someone. Only person you should know is Jesus Christ as your Lord. Nothing else, nothing more. Go down to verse 14. Verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to the far country, who called his own servant and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave a 5 talents, note that, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on the journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, Lord of the servant came and settled accounts with them. Are you following that? Settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents and saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. So his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And he also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me the 2 talents, and look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Did you notice the answer of the Lord is identical? 5 and the 2 talents died in the 24. Then he who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man. By the way, this is, if you have a boss, don't say that kind of thing in front of your boss. Unless you want to be fired or get this one. You don't want to talk to your boss this way. Reaping where you have not sown and gather where you have not yet scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Verse 26. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I have not scattered seed. You ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And then at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given. He will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Verse 30. And cast unprofit servant into the outer darkness, there will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth. Each servant in this parable was given the money according to his own ability. We may think that we have a lot of abilities, but God knows what we can handle. Don't underestimate yourself. Don't overestimate yourself. God knows what we can handle. So He handed to us according to our capability. For your information, one talent is worth about 20 years' wage. So if you're making let's just round up the 40,000 a year. 40,000 a year, the first guy received $4 million. Second guy received $1.6 million. And third guy received $800,000. Don't you think that's a pretty good investment from the master? And he gave it to us, and he gave it to them, and expect to utilize it to earn more. It is valid to see this talent as a resource for our life, such as time, money, ability, and authority. Speaking of time, you can earn your money back. If you lost money in the investment, you can earn the money back. But you can never earn your time back. Use your time wisely. Everything we have in our lives belongs to our God. Agreed? We have been assigned our ministries in our lives according to the abilities and gifts God has given us. It is our privilege and honor to serve the Lord and multiply His good. Whether it is small or large, we are accountable to God for everything we do, with what we have, and what we say. If we use them only for our own benefit, we'll be sorry when we get to heaven that we didn't use anything for our Lord Jesus Christ and for His kingdom. However, even if you have used everything for yourself up to this point, you can stop to do what is right. It is never too late to start your life and make it count for the kingdom of God. The three servants fell into two categories, faithful and unfaithful. The faithful servant took their talent and put them to work for their Lord. The unfaithful servant kept his talent in the earth. Instead of using his opportunities, he buried them. He did not supposedly do evil things. He just simply did nothing. And by doing nothing, he was committing sins and robbing his Lord of the solace and the privilege. Are you following me on that?
Yes.
By doing nothing, he is robbing God. And you may say, well, I don't have a time to serve God. I don't have a resource to serve God. Is that the best excuse? I bet you can find a time, because you certainly do what you like to do. And you spend money on the things that you like to do. Ladies, just for the side information, your husband spends far more than what you know on what he likes. I'm the first one to admit what I do. Instead of using his opportunities, and some of you may not do anything for the Lord and for His kingdom, you are accountable for not doing anything. Two men who put their money to work each received the same commendation. They said, as a servant, they will be the rulers. What did the master look for? Obedience and faithfulness in the servant, not the bottom line. Did he treat the guy who brought the 10 talents back better than the one who brought the 4 talents? No. Exact same commendation. God is not looking for what we can do. God is looking for our faithfulness and obedience. Can you say that with me? Faithfulness and obedience. It is possible that some of us could have the saved soul, but have a wasted life. In other words, you have assurance of the heaven because you received Jesus Christ in your heart. But up to this point, I said this many times, he might be a Savior and Messiah, but he is not your Lord because you are not being obedient to him in serving him. And you may say, I work practically 7 days a week. Okay? Can you pray? How long does it take for you to pray for someone else? 2 minutes? 4 minutes? 10 minutes? Do you have 10 minutes in a day for you to pray for someone? Intercessory prayer is so important. Don't tell me that you cannot do it. Even if you are quadriplegic, that you cannot do anything, if you have a right mentality, you can pray for somebody. We have certainly that many people in our church and the missionaries who can use your prayer. So come up with another excuse. Anybody? Think hard before you come up with an excuse to God. Third servant was unfaithful, therefore he was not rewarded. Because this man was a lazy, and as his master declared, he never tried to succeed. If you desire to hear those words, well done and good and faithful servant, then make a change in your life. Take what God has given you and make the most of it. You might say to yourself, but I don't have much. Actually, you have everything you need to start. If you're a born-again Christian, you have God's most precious gift, Jesus Christ in your heart. And you have a Holy Spirit who empowers you. And God has instilled in your life a certain gift for His glory. That means your life is valuable. Are you with me on that?
Yeah.
And take what God has given you and dedicate it to them to watch what He will accomplish. Instead of coming up with some lame excuse why you cannot serve God in His kingdom, I'm asking you to ask yourself if there's any way you can serve. Again, keep your finger in Matthew 25. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 8. We are confident, yet well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God. I also trust are well known to your conscience. We are all given account. We must settle, we will settle account, individual account. Are you with me on that? You don't want to face God as that excuse doesn't come. If you come up with that excuse, I will stand next to you in heaven. I told you. And you might be thinking, I made a bunch of mistakes. I messed up a lot, but it's not too late for it. Start making good decisions with the Lord's help from now on. Do what you can to right the wrong and that you committed over the years. Then, from this day forward, determine to walk with God and start living the way He wants you to live. Listen. This is very important. Our readiness for the Jesus return, the rapture, determined by our stewardship of the resource that He has given us. Some think that readiness for the Jesus return is a rather mystical thing. It is really not a mystical thing. It is rather being about our business to the Lord. In light of this parable, we must ask ourselves, what have we done with our knowledge, our time, our money, and our ability? Listen, the sin of omission, which means that doing nothing, the sin of doing nothing, may ultimately be more dangerous than sin of commission, doing things, doing wrong things. However, the real reason for this parable of Jesus is not about the servanthood only, but also it's about more of the being ready to meet our Savior at any given time. Agreed? Well, that's verse 31. 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Note that, please. Goats on the left, sheep on the right. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those who, those under his right, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you called me. And I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, because he came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and or thirsty and give you drink? And when do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison come to you? Verse 40. The king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of my these brethren, you did it to me. Verse 41. Then he also said to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, you gave me no food. And I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. And naked, you did not clothe me. And sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also answered him, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of least of these, you did not do it to me. For this will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Stop there again. This is about the judgment of individual people from all the nations. All those who are found guilty, the goat and the left. And those who are declared innocent on the right side and the sheep. They were surprised that they did something to the Lord, and they did not do something to the Lord. The answer was simple. When they helped and neglect the least of their brethren, his brethren, they helped or neglect Jesus. Because the righteous were now aware that they were helping Jesus when they helped the least of his brethren, it showed that they did it with a pure motive. Pure motive. And it was a simple response of love from you. Listen, when you help, like donating the clothes and going to the park to hand out the clothes, and if you're trying to listen to praise from them, if you're counting that in, you're not doing it with a pure motive. If you're handing out the clothes so they can be warm, that they can be covered, they can be blessed, without any thing behind, you're doing the right thing. God, our God, is all knowing God. Do you agree?
Yes.
He does not see our end result, but He sees our motive. The motive is more important than the end result. When you do the things for the Lord without any fear, the response from the people, without counting on that, you're doing right. But if you're counting what people's gonna say, ooh and ah, you already got your reward. You ain't gonna get anything from the Lord. If our worship team of course they play well, in my dream I wish I could play that well, sing that well. But if they're doing it for the feedback from the people, they're doing it wrong motive. If you're helping other people in the ministry with the wrong motive, you ain't gonna get the reward from the Lord. Everything is in the motive. Think hard before you do something, whether you're going to do it for Him, whether you're going to do it for yourself. There is only one person being in the throne of your heart. Either God or yourself. Jesus is telling us that these people who think that they are followers of Jesus Christ are not really. One thing common we must notice in these three parables are the ones who they will be cast into outer darkness. Five foolish virgins, they will be cast into outer darkness. And the unfaithful servant who received one talent and didn't do anything, they will be cast into outer darkness. And a group of goats who mingled with the sheep, they thought that they were part of them. They will be cast into outer darkness. They may smell like, talk like, act like, but they are not a believer of Jesus. Two applications. Number one, we need to examine our hearts for the moment of the rapture. Either you will go with Jesus or you will be left behind. Second application. Let's make ourselves available to Him. Instead of coming up with a story excuse of why we cannot. God is not looking for the ability. God is looking for the availability. Okay? Okay?
Yes.
Just be available. God will provide the rest.